Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dwayne Heisler, and I'm so glad to be here with our first episode of Lightning Bug. And I have with me my co-host,
Jessica Britton.
Hey, Jessica, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So you know, we thought we'd start off this podcast with a little bit about what's happened in the past week. Some local political news from central Pennsylvania, from Columbia County, and we've had quite a week. We had our local March for Our Lives. In addition to having our local event, we also were involved with getting a bus to go to D.C., and I ended up going down to Washington, D.C. It was quite an event down there, which I'm sure you've heard about through other media outlets, and maybe you had a chance to go yourselves, but it was nice that our community was able to fill up a bus and send it down. We filled it pretty quickly, but you were here locally, so why don't you let us know what happened here?
I was here at the Bloomsburg March for Our Lives, which was held in the middle of town in the fountain, at the fountain, and we had over 120 people there from small town Bloomsburg, a really passionate crowd. A lot of students were willing to get up and speak. We had a very moving ceremony regarding the victims of the Parkland shooting, and it was just a really, really impressive and really emotional event that took place right here with local students being able to speak out about the fear that they experience going to school every day.
Right. I think it's so amazing that we were able to have high school kids. Mm-hmm. And what were the age range of students that spoke or that were here?
It was a pretty big range. I think the youngest student was 14 who spoke. But then we also had we had a few college students that spoke as well. And all right. of these kids have dealt with this fear of gun violence in their schools their whole lives.
So we have a local university here. So we're located in Columbia County. We're actually recording right now in the town of Bloomsburg, which has Bloomsburg University, which is a local university, a state university, mm-hmm. with about almost 10,000 students are
between
here.
Between 9 and 10,000 students right here.
So we have that perspective too in Columbia County. So it's great to see them turn out for that. And how many people did you say were?
We had 120 that registered at the event that signed in.
So there were some
additional ones that obviously don't make it onto those sheets. So we had a wonderful turnout, and it was really inspiring.
I saw the photos, you know, when they were coming through in D.C., because when you're down there in an event like that, your phone locks up. There's no texting. There's no Facebook. I mean, everything just freezes. But I was able to see them come through then, and it looked like a pretty good crowd that was there. And
it really was.
And I guess the pictures are up on Columbia County Indivisible.
Yes, they are on our Facebook page. There are quite a few that one of our own people took a lot of pictures, but then we had a lot of people who just attended who posted their pictures and shared them, and that was really amazing.
So Columbia County Indivisible has been a really active group this past year and year and a half or so. And in fact, we have an event tonight, Why Courts Matter, right?
Yes.
That's going on. So you'll be listening to this later, but this would be Wednesday then. It's March 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an event tonight. We usually have an event almost every week, it seems.
Yeah, we have a lot going on.
Tell us a little bit about that event, because you were the one that coordinated it.
Sure. So this is Why Courts Matter with Kadena Kenner. From Why Courts Matter, Pennsylvania, and she's going to be addressing the importance of the court system as an instrument of resistance, because a lot of the time the court in the last year and a half has been the only way to stop the Trump administration from doing a lot of really dangerous work,
right.
And the courts have really shut those policies down, and that's been, thank God, that's been a stopgap for making those policies permanently effective. So the courts couldn't be more important. There's a lot happening on the federal bench right here in Pennsylvania. We've been dealing with court cases involving the partisan gerrymandering that had gone on in Pennsylvania. So that right there, which has just shaken up our whole congressional structure here in Pennsylvania, shows as a perfect example of why the courts could not be more important in this time.
Right. And you know what the courts are, you know, when you elect judges are, it's in those years that are not gubernatorial years or presidential years. Mm-hmm. I call them opportunity years. It's our opportunity to vote in judges and to vote in people for your town council and, you know, your local school board.
Absolutely.
And it's those are the years when we are able to elect people who have really the most daily impact on our life. I mean, they mm-hmm. teach our children. They determine when the trash gets put out and if sure. that pothole's being repaired or, you know, everyday life for us. You know, it just really does that. So, so she's coming tonight.
She's coming tonight.
She's an event yep. tonight. That's great. And so, I guess the other thing that I want to think about, you know, in terms of what this past week had been, we've been so busy. We have all these events. We have MLK's assassination
anniversary
coming
yes.
up on the 4th,
yes,
right?
Wednesday, April 4th.
The 4th. And I'm not quite sure what people are doing around that. I know here at Columbia County, we're looking at having an event in our fountain where we would be kind of, I think now is a great time to hear the words of MLK again.
Yes.
And to have them broadcast. And so we're doing things around listening to those and moments of silence and especially listening to what he has to say about labor, since that's been under attack in Pennsylvania
yes.
and nationally as well.
Right.
So we're looking forward to other things, and we'll keep you informed about those
yeah.
different events.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when I think about the local news, like what's happening with the Parkland kids mm-hmm. and the pushback they've been getting and how they've really been under attack. And then I think of our very own Rick Santorum, big sigh there. I wish he would just go away, right? It's unbelievable that he interjects himself into this moment. Why don't you talk a little bit about what did he say? Like
Rick Santorum. Ugh. Well, just to remind everybody, Rick Santorum was voted out of office over a decade ago, and yet he still finds a way to insert himself, as you said, and make himself look ridiculous and therefore make Pennsylvania ridiculous, even though we told him a long time ago, hey, we don't need you around anymore. So Rick Santorum, who unfortunately is a CNN commentator, and why CNN continues to give this man a platform, I do not understand, but that's their call, whatever, had the following to say about the really, to me and to most of us, incredible amount of civic action that these students have taken in the course of dealing with an unimaginable tragedy. But here was Rick Santorum's recommendation. And I quote, "How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or try to deal with situations that when there is a violent shooter that you can actually respond to that." End quote. I mean, I got most of my medical training from watching Grey's Anatomy, but I'm fairly certain that a gunshot wound to the head or the chest or really anywhere cannot be stopped with CPR.
Well, what's CPR for? What does that do? Like, that's
CPR,
like, make sure that we have, like, blood flowing, right? And oxygen.
Exactly. It's performed to keep blood and oxygen circulating through your body.
So I think that maybe he could use some, like, is he getting enough oxygen to his brain? I mean,
there
even to suggest
not.
That, why don't we have our kids do some CPR on it? I mean, it's just, the context of that is just so crazy.
It's so
right?
bizarre. And it just, honestly, it just shows how out of touch he is
yeah, he really
with did. The reality of the situation and the reality of the fact that kids deal with the threat of gun violence in their schools constantly, matter whether they know CPR or not.
Why do we claim him as our own? He doesn't even live in the state, does he?
I believe he lives close to wherever they shoot the CNN... as far as I know,
he have like a house like in another state, and then he had an apartment. But how many kids does he have?
He has like a million.
I know
kids.
You can't cram them all into that
yeah,
shoe. Right?
If only he had supported Planned Parenthood.
Maybe
he
has a cat
those.
Or something.
Maybe he does have a cat in Pennsylvania. But he also like the it was reported not long ago. I don't know why anyone thought this was important that he likes to still go to the Senate barbershop, so he can hang out with other senators, even though he's been a has-been now for over a decade. He just can't seem to let it go. And he ends up, because he's always described as former Pennsylvania senator.
That's right. That's right.
Rick
That's why
Santorum,
we end up owning that,
he
right?
He ends up making the whole state of Pennsylvania look bad.
So in fairness, if anyone is unfamiliar with Senator Rick Santorum, I would say look up Rick Santorum on the, what is that site called? It's the, oh, come on. What is it?
Urban Dictionary.
The Urban Dictionary. Go ahead. I challenge you. Go ahead and look it up on the Urban Dictionary. I remember when Rachel Maddow kind of referred to him as that. When he was looking, or when he was running for president.
Yes.
And he's run several
times,
I think,
always tries to run. And he's usually laughed off the stage. And when you're laughed off the stage going up against the likes of Donald Trump, that's really saying something.
So is he trying to walk this back now?
Now he is. He's trying to walk it back. And it's, you know, not being very well received because, obviously, it's so ridiculous that CPR would have helped any of these victims. And, you know, and it just, and we joke about it because Rick Santorum is truly ridiculous, but it just goes to show that there's no understanding. This is someone who was part of the, you know, oh, you know, save the children and save the family,
oh, right,
and all
yep.
of that.
Family values.
But when, exactly. But when children's lives are literally at stake, he tells them to learn CPR, and then maybe they could have saved their friends who were bleeding out in front of them.
So is that a step better or worse than the guy who said, well, we should put rocks in the classrooms?
Who
and...
was also from Pennsylvania.
No.
Yeah. From
what is it? Is it in the water?
I
like
don't
what?
Know.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know. But that was, I think, Blue Mountain School District. I
oh,
apologize if
right.
I'm incorrect.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is my understanding of what he thought would have also saved kids from being shot at in schools. If they had had rocks to
yeah.
throw, that would have.
I think
the
example he gave was that he is a kid and he was out doing gardening work and one of his kids threw a rock at him. Maybe rightfully so.
I mean,
like,
can't
it really,
really
hurt. So if you
can
imagine,
really say that I blame
a
them.
Bunch of kids like hitting with rocks, but that's their solution, right? To put rocks
right.
in.
And you know, it goes back to like you know, and I saw something in, on some sort of social media that basically said, you know, if my kids are fighting and they're hitting each other with a stick, I don't blame the stick, but I take it away, you know,
yeah.
and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's just, it just goes to show how ridiculous all of these arguments are. And they ignore the stick in this conversation, which is the prominent level of guns available
so
in this country.
I think this is probably the least in terms of an attack against the kids who have been just amazing
mm-hmm.
in this, showing their leadership. And I really like how they have reached out across the country and are working with, for example, some of the school kids in some really terrible areas in Chicago where their community has been defined by gun violence.
Absolutely.
And not in terms of a mass shooting, but in the, you know, the fact that they can relate to, they've lost people and
right.
they lose people on a regular basis there.
Gun violence is a part of their day-to-day life.
Exactly, exactly. And looking at those communities and how they could actually work together. And when I say communities, I'm saying the kids.
Yeah.
You know, this is a time where I think many politicians are acting like children, and the kids are acting like the adults.
Absolutely.
They're reaching out, they're trying to get stuff done, and they are receiving ridicule for this.
Sure. You know, we have seen these kids after dealing with an unimaginable event in their lives where, you know, if you've heard them talk, they've talked about, well, on this day we had to go to this many memorial services and that thing, and they still are finding ways to speak out about ways to solve these problems
right.
and ways to make all communities safer. They've reached out. They recognize the fact that they are, in most situations, privileged white students, and they realize that, you know, their black classmates in other areas have not had the platform that they've had. So they're also trying to shine light on those situations and recognize that when it happens in some communities, it doesn't get the media attention. So they're really trying to bring all of those issues to light, which just shows that they get it. They get it a lot more than many of the adults do, and a lot more than many, many of the representatives do.
Right, right. So when I was down in D.C., it was mostly kids. I mean,
yeah.
when you look at the crowd, and I was down there for the Women's March and, you know, looking at the difference in terms of the makeup, the demographics
sure.
of people there was obviously a much younger crowd. There were several remarkable signs. All the numbers of people there that had signs that showed that they were directly related to, you know, related
Okay,
to, like,
gotcha.
There was a guy who held a sign that said, my child survived, you know,
wow.
a shooting.
Yeah.
There was a teacher that's held up a sign that said, until you, it was pretty long. I don't know how she fit all of the sign, but until you have, I forget what the number was, like 20 elementary school kids in a closet.
Mm.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Wow,
like,
right?
Can you imagine being a teacher and herding in these, you know, 7 and 8 year old kids
right.
into a closet and trying to have them be quiet,
quiet.
While
right.
you're terrified out of your fucking mind?
Yep.
I mean, there's like someone shooting a gun
right.
and you're gathering these kids and you're putting them into a closet. Like, I just can't imagine what that does to someone.
Absolutely.
No less kids,
right,
what that experience does to them, and how this is the reality
right.
of today, where we have, you know, gun violence just run amok.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see the effects that this has on so many kids, and a lot of the reporting said that this was driven by the kids, these children who wanted to go to these marches wherever they were, whether
right.
it was in DC or in their local communities or, you know, wherever they were, they wanted to go because they live with that fear that I know I didn't live with. I was in high school when Columbine happened, but my stepdaughter is 19. She was born the year that Columbine happened, and she has lived in that reality her whole life.
So we should probably give a shout out to our sister communities who also held local rallies, like
Definitely.
Up in Williamsport and Lewisburg
mm-hmm.
and Hazleton. So great to hear from Hazleton.
Absolutely.
That community came alive. There were two events that were up in Scranton. There was one in East Stroudsburg.
Yep.
There was Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, Reading, Allentown, both.
Of course, Philadelphia.
Huge turnouts at
State
at
College.
All of them.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so proud of our community, because a lot of times we band with, you know, some of the other local communities. Plus, we had a lot of our, you know, really, really strong supporters who went to D.C., and we still had this amazing turnout and this beautiful, beautiful event, because it just shows how important people realize that this is.
Yeah. So I think now that we've kind of talked about some of the events that we've done here, and we've really focused in on gun violence and the kids specifically, and how brave they were and how they're under attack, which is just amazing that they show such perseverance and such great character when this is happening.
Absolutely.
You know, and staying focused on message
mm-hmm.
and not being deterred like some people are, like our Republican president sometimes.
Sure.
Speaking of that, well, you know what? Let's talk about this. So if we were to frame this in terms of the millennial minute, like
mm-hmm.
if we were to just take a minute and say, okay, what's the lesson that's really to be learned here? The millennial minute, what is the lesson to be learned from what's happening around these kids and how they're
sure.
under attack and the work that they're doing?
Yeah. Well, I think that the lesson is that they are getting the attention because of the fact that they are holding so strong and that they are literally just swatting down any kind of criticism that they're getting. These kids are obviously being noticed by groups like the NRA and politicians who are in the pocket of the NRA. And instead of backing down or being afraid of it, they're hitting right back in terms of social media response, and they're just not giving them the time of day. And that really just shows that what they're doing is having an impact, because if they're getting all of those people's
right.
attention, they are making a real difference, and it's scaring the NRA and other groups that don't want to do anything to rein in this sort of gun violence.
Their voice is being heard.
Absolutely.
Their voice is being heard, or they wouldn't be getting this kind of pushback.
Yep.
Right.
When you are getting, you know, they're being attacked in just these ridiculous ways, and they're being called, it's being said that they're being paid, and, you know, all the same nonsense
right.
that you hear about any kind of protest. And they're just like, you know what? No, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And they don't have time for any of that. And good for them.
I love how they cut through, like, you know, there was always in the past, oh, well, we can't talk about it. It's too soon.
Yes.
And they're like, you know what? We're the victims here, and
yeah.
we're going to talk about it because we're ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that just
the
really...
The bogus line of, well, it's disrespectful to the victims. And their point is, you know, what's disrespectful to the victims? Getting shot at.
Right.
So they're using their voices, and it's so amazing to see. So keep going, kids.
So now, Jessica, I think that it's time for chicken and waffles. And so, you know, when we were talking about this podcast, we wanted to talk about things that were iconic Pennsylvania. And if you're from central Pennsylvania, you probably know what chicken and waffles are. Some of you are probably thinking like, wow, what is that? You'll have to look, you'll have to look it up. You know, I didn't really know too much about when I lived outside of Philly, like in Bucks County, but when coming into central Pennsylvania,
it's a big deal.
So I like to think of this in terms of what we just talked about, and thinking like where's the chicken and where are the waffles. And first of all, I have to say the kids are the exact opposite of the chicken. They have been so brave, right?
They're the exact opposite of the chicken and the waffles, because they have very clear asks, and they haven't changed. They want gun violence research funded. They want restrictions on the ATF doing its job to be lifted, universal background checks, and a ban on high capacity magazines. That's what they're asking
for.
There
we go.
None of this should be difficult to implement.
And then when you look at the quote adults on the other side, you have the Republican president who on a Tuesday said, yeah, I think we should raise the age nationally to 21. And I think we should look at semi-automatic weapons. And you know, he had this list of these things. And then by Thursday, so on Tuesday, he said one thing. By Thursday, after the lobbyists have gotten to him and, you know, he's dealing with his Republican cohorts, and they're kind of like, well, I don't think that there's the political will to move forward. I mean, if that's not a waffle, I don't know what is. Is he the Tuesday Republican president or the Thursday Republican president?
Yeah.
And then you would hope that there would be some leadership in our Congress. But you're not. McConnell said flat out, no, I'm not putting anything forward. I'm not doing a darn thing. And you can't expect Paul Ryan in the House to do anything, because that's where all their donations are coming from. They have all these donors that are donating to their campaigns. And so we have seen zero leadership in the House and the Senate on really moving something forward. And so there's your chicken. They're afraid to.
Yeah.
They're afraid to piss off their donors.
Yeah. They chicken, like, it's sort of an insult to chickens to, you know, compare them to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, who are always more than willing to offer thoughts and prayers when these situations occur, but very unwilling to offer any sort of action or, as Dwayne mentioned, any sort of leadership in a way that could be fruitful and make the actual change that our nation wants. You know, universal background checks is like, that's not rocket science. And I think it's
the
like
national approval
97%
rating.
Of Americans want universal background checks. See, and but we're for still them, afraid of it.
For them, it's not about what the American people want.
Unfortunately, that's correct.
When you're looking at our Congress, it's not about what the American people want, because if it was really about what the American people want, we'd have sensible gun laws.
Absolutely.
And we don't. So it's not about that at all.
Yeah.
So then you have to ask yourself, if you're thinking about it, what is it?
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we're at. So, you know, so this was kind of nice for our first run through of Lightning Bug. And so the idea once again was to kind of talk about rural politics and looking at it through a lens of rural Pennsylvania. We have to give a shout out, by the way, to Barnstorming PA.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So they have a podcast, a weekly podcast that you can find on iTunes and other places as well.
Platforms, Stitcher, I believe they're
Stitcher,
on there.
They're on several platforms.
Yeah.
And they're kind of helping us out to get this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to moving forward with it. And we hope that you'll be able to tune in. And so, with all of that being said, I'd like to remind you that this is Lightning Bug, that we are lights in the night, we are hope for our future, we are not alone, and we are Lightning Bug.
That's right.